Hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we're live on the air right now with the Basic Gospel. Keep listening. You'll hear how the Basic Gospel intersects with your daily life and how the Word of God can help you experience freedom and true life in Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible question or if there's something you'd like to talk about on this edition of Basic Gospel, give us a call right now. 1-800-677-9377. Again, toll free, 1-800-677-9377. It's Basic Gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. When we talk about Basic Gospel and you think, you know, what is the most elementary truth that there is? What is the most significant truth that there is? I think they're one and the same, and it's this simple fact that God loves us.
Yeah.
Now, most of us don't really believe that, but it's true. God loves us, and Jesus Christ was the expression of that love. I mean, everything that he did was compelled and motivated by the love of his Father. He died in our place as a demonstration of God's love for mankind and for each and every one of us. So Basic Gospel is simply this: God loves us. And we see a definition of love in 1 Corinthians 13. And today's question of the day is, why did Paul start that definition with the phrase, love is patient? I mean, he could have started it anywhere he wanted to, but he was inspired by God to start right there. Love is patient. Why? Well, let's talk about it on today's program, 1-800-677-9377. And we're going to go to Somerset, New Jersey, and talk to Maurice, listening to us on WMCA. I think he has a comment about that very question. Hi, Maurice.
Jesus Christ, God Almighty, bless you, beloved.
Well,
and I want all of our brothers and sisters to realize and understand why Apostle Paul realized that God and love was patient. Because the Word of God says the wages of sin is death, the gift of God's eternal life. Paul could have been wiped out, but God demonstrated his love and showed him patience. As the Word says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, for God shows and clearly proves his love for us that he gave, while we were still sinners, Christ the Messiah, the anointed one, who died for us. And
yeah,
if we ever, as believers, the only true way to spell love is capital J-E-S-U-S, because he is the beginning, he's the truth, the way, and the life, and that's what we need to follow.
Yeah.
And all of God's children at all times, my responsibility is to do this. I do not cease to give thanks for believers and also for Israel, Pamphylia, Peace, Prosperity, Jerusalem, because his love is demonstrated there, to mention them in prayer.
Yes.
So I pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant all of his children, believers and non-believers, a spirit of wisdom and revelation knowledge, and the insight and mysteries and deep, intimate knowledge of him, by having the eyes of their heart flooded with light so they can know and understand the hope to which he has called them and how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints, the set apart ones. We must understand God loved us so much that he gave us his Son for eternal life.
Absolutely. Well, Maurice, I think you've hit the nail right on the head as far as why Paul started with patience. I love what he had to say to his young son in the faith, Timothy. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. God did not have to suffer long with us. He could have wiped us out at any time. I mean, all of mankind from Adam and Eve on have lived in rebellion toward God. We have done cosmic treason, as one theologian said. That's how he defined sin. We have rebelled against God, and God could have snuffed us out at any time, but he showed patience, and that patience was for a reason, so that one day we could receive salvation. And I think on that road to Damascus, when Paul was blinded by that light, and he heard Jesus say, Paul, why are you persecuting me? I think that is one of the most poignant examples of patience right there. Jesus could have wiped him out, but he had that question, and he brought him to new life. And that's what God's patience means for each and every one of us. When we're lost, his patience means salvation. For those of us who are saved, his patience means that he's working all things together for our good. Well, Maurice, thanks for calling in and weighing in on the question today. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this book, Love Is.
God willing, good pleasure being done in your life. Continue to finish that ministry. Feed daddy's sheep, bro. God bless you and your family.
Well, thank you, Maurice. You hold the line, my friend.
Yes, indeed. And, Bob, for anyone who'd like to get a copy of that book you're sending Maurice, it's called Love Is, and it's by Bob Christopher. If you'd like to get a copy, one is available to you this month for a gift of any amount to the ministry. Simply go online to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Or you can call and request yours at 1-800-727-2828. Again, 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours. Love Is by Bob Christopher. Yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Brooklyn, New York, and talk to Freddie. Hi, Freddie.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, thanks.
Very good. Was Adam and Eve ever referred to as son and daughter of God?
I don't know if there's a passage that says that. I mean, they were the creation of God. They were created in God's image. They were a reflection of God in the world around them. And then when they chose to sin, that image was changed. God separated himself from Adam and Eve. They died spiritually. Some 900 years later, they died physically. But they subjected all of humankind to sin and death. So all of us come into this world in the image of Adam and Eve. And we need to be restored back to life, and that's where the gospel message comes into play. Jesus Christ died to take away the very thing that killed us, so that in being raised back to life, he could raise us to life. And that's what salvation is. It's being made alive together with Christ. So Adam and Eve were created in God's image. They had this incredible relationship with God, intimate, personal relationship that they experienced in that garden, but sin changed all that, and they lost their relationship with God. They lost their spiritual life, but that's restored in us when we come to faith in Jesus.
Thank you.
Does that help, Freddie?
Yeah, that's help.
Okay. Hey, thanks for your call. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this book as well, okay?
1-800-677-9377. We got plenty of open lines and plenty of time remaining on the clock. We want to hear from you. What do you think about it? 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to El Paso, Texas, and talk to Elvia, listening to us on KELP. Hi, Elvia. You're on the air.
Well, maybe not.
Well, she has an interesting question. She wants to know if God has a gender. Does God have a gender?
Not in the way we think of it. Although when he created Adam and Eve, he said, let us make humanity in our image. So there must have been something about gender there, but we don't think of God in that way.
But he made them both male and female. So God is spirit. I think most of us have this idea that God is, you know, this old guy with flowing white hair that just glistens with a white robe. And we really put human characteristics to him. But God is spirit. Nobody has ever seen God. Nobody has ever been face-to-face except for Jesus. And he came to make God the Father known to us. I think the idea of God being our Father, we would think of him as a masculine character, and so we would put a male gender to him, but God his spirit. Certainly Jesus Christ was male. There's gender there. Mm-hmm. But as far as we're concerned, there's no partiality. God reaches male and female. He gives the same gift to both. We stand equal in God's sight as brothers and sisters in him. And I love how Paul put it in Galatians, in Christ there's neither male nor female. That's good news. Well, Avi, I hope that helps. Thanks for your call.
And plenty of open lines again, 1-800-677-9377.
Let's go to Modesto, California, and talk with Craig, listening to us on KCBC. Hi, Craig.
Hi, how's it going?
Fantastic. Nice to hear from you. How's it going with you?
It's going great. Nice to, I've never called in. This is my first time.
Well, we're glad you did.
How can we help you today?
Okay, I had a question for you. What do you guys think about, it's kind of a general question, what do you think about the role of the old church when all of Christianity was one, having to do with that and the Bible, since in the old days when the whole church came together in the ecumenical councils and decided which books to pick, how come there's some books that are neglected in some testaments, but in others, in other churches, there's all the books, and it's like different for each one.
So, like the Catholic Bible would have that middle section, the Apocrypha, and then the Protestant Bible wouldn't have that. And so how did they come to those decisions? And
yeah, that is those decisions, and then also like the little verses. There's like some verses missing in some of the Protestant Bibles. How come some of the verses are missing in those, and even in some of the Catholic Bibles there?
Well, for some reason we lost Craig, but he brings up a fantastic question. How can we know that this Bible is reliable? I mean, that's what he's really, really asking. And did men convene and come up with what was going to be in the Bible and what wasn't going to be in the Bible? That's sometimes how we perceive history or interpret history. But the fact of the matter is the books that are in the Word of God, folks knew them as authoritative. I mean, they had done their work in the lives of people, and I think human beings just recognized that and assembled those books that had that quality of authority about them. The books of the Apocrypha are really historical accounts. If you read through them, you can see there's something missing in those books as compared to the writings of the New Testament, the writings of the Old Testament. You really get a sense in reading these passages of thus saith the Lord. This is truly God's word. And as Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, you receive this message as if it really were the word of God. And that indeed is what it was. So the Apocrypha, they're historical. They give us some good insights into the thinking and what was going on as far as Israel was concerned, in between the time of Malachi and the time of Christ, but they're not authoritative. In other words, it wasn't a word from God to man about what was up and coming. That next word that we hear was a cry in a manger from a baby. That was the next word of God in the voice of Jesus Christ himself.
Yeah, well, one of the things he said at the beginning was when the church in the olden days, when they were all together, well, the fact is they weren't all together. That was one of the problems.
Right.
Every city tended to have their own leadership, and they all had their own copies of various things, and they decided we need to get together and really determine what has already been demonstrated to be authoritative. It's not that we're approving it. We're saying let's throw away all the distractions and get down to the core of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that actually helped bring them together. It created some unity in the church where for a long time none existed.
Right. There's this idea, you know, we just need to go back and model our churches today after the New Testament churches. And you ask the question, well, which
yeah,
one?
Which one?
Do you want to model yourself out of the Church of Corinth? I mean, they had divisions just right out of the chute.
Yeah.
I mean, they were drawing lines immediately. And you look at all the other churches that Paul addressed in his letters. The reason he wrote those letters wasn't to commend them for all the wonderful things they were doing, although he had those types of words in each of his letters. He was writing because there was a problem.
Mm-hmm.
There was an issue that had arisen, and they didn't know how to handle it, and it was causing all kinds of dissension within the body. So Paul wrote to correct those problems, and if he were alive today, God would inspire him to write the same things to us today. So we have to realize that when human beings are brought together, even though we're united by the love of Christ, by the blood of Christ, by the very life of Christ, we still have flesh. We still have our ideas. We still have our opinions. That's why we need a standard of truth. That's why we need the Word of God that we can rely upon and build our individual lives upon and build our communities upon.
Right.
And when we go to the Word of God, that should clear up all matters of confusion and division.
Yeah. Well, again, this is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us. Several of you have lines. Hold on to them. We'll get to you as quickly as we can.
Well, thanks. Let's go to Nashua, New Hampshire, and talk with Elizabeth, listening to us on WDER. Hi, Elizabeth.
Well, I praise the Lord. Hello.
Well, hello to you as well. Nice to hear from you.
Same thing with me. And I was cut off, but I was patient, and I called back.
Patience. That's right.
Thank you so much.
I wanted to say that patience is connected with being unselfish. It's connected with Jesus said we are to be humble. And the humble are the ones that are more closer to God. And patience is also dealing with forgiveness. Patience is, when you think of someone who's impatient, they're selfish. They want to have it their way. They're not willing to wait for another person. They're, you know, it's me first, and it's intolerant, and it's well, it's just impatience is all the qualities that marks selfishness, and patience is all the quality that marks understanding, wisdom, and godliness. So
yeah, I think your word understanding is key to this. And God certainly understands us best, and that's why he's patient with us. He knows mm-hmm. our weaknesses. He knows our flaws. He knows our failures. He knows all of those things about us. Sometimes we think, you know, God just doesn't understand. God just doesn't know what I'm going through. God just doesn't know how I feel. Yeah, he knows exactly how we feel. And that's why he's patient with us. And when we understand that, then his patience really means something to us, because we understand that at any given moment, he could have snuffed us out. I mean, because we certainly weren't acting, you know, in a way that would be pleasing to him. We don't always act that way. Yet God chooses to be patient with us because he knows that he can work those things together for our good and for the good of those who are involved with us. So great, great comments, Elizabeth. We certainly appreciate you weighing in. Yes.
Can I respond to the one caller who wanted to know about if people reviewed the Bible and if they chose, and how do we know this and how do we know? I just wanted to say that when Jesus said to doubting Thomas, but Thomas, blessed are those who have not seen but still believe. It also refers to blessed are those who believe that the Bible is the total perfected Word of God, but they haven't seen that for sure in writing. So I believe that it's the perfect Word of God, and no one has to prove it to me, or I don't have to be seeing the fact that it is. And no scholars have to come together and make a big committee. Therefore, because I believe and have faith that the Lord can make a book to last through all the ages, and that the Lord can do simple, easy things like that for himself, because he can move mountains, surely he can make a book that will last through the ages and nobody can destroy. So therefore, just believing with faith that that book is holy and perfect is enough for me.
Well, good comment on that, Elizabeth. Indeed, I think when you read it, you know for sure exactly what it is, and I think that's the problem. We discuss the Bible kind of outside the Bible. We never open up its pages. But when people will actually open up the pages of the Bible and read what it has to say, I think they will feel the power of God's Word in that situation. Well, Elizabeth, thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it.
Even more important, what you just said.
Yeah. Well, let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this book, Love Is. Would love to put it in your hands, okay? Hang on. Well, let's go to Jennifer in California, listening to us on KDIA. Hi, Jennifer.
Hello.
Hi, welcome.
Hi. I just had a couple questions. like, I wanted to know what you think of, like, Rick Warren and his purpose-driven life.
Well, Jennifer, I've read the book. I think there's some, you know, positive things about the book, and it certainly has had an impact on quite a number of people's lives. What I do know of Rick Warren, he seems to be a very genuine man. I was just talking to somebody yesterday that knows him personally, and he said, you know, you'll go up and he'll come up to you and just give you the biggest hug you've ever gotten in your life. That he's personal, he's warm, and he's, I think, somebody that loves the Lord. And that's just kind of my observations. I know there's all kinds of talk about him. You know, is he really, you know, teaching the true message? And you know, there's all sorts of things. And I think the only way you're going to find out is to try to go straight to him or go to things that he has written and make that determination on your own. But just what I've seen of him from outside, you know, I think he has a genuine desire to communicate the gospel, and I think lots of people are being blessed by his ministry.
Because I feel like I've had a second chance with in life. I was raised in church as a Free Will Baptist, and like my parents became alcoholics and like slipped away from God and everything. And then I kind of like slipped away when I was 15 into a dark, deep spot in my life. And then I'm 37 now, and I have like 70 days clean and sober today.
Oh, and, good for you.
I've been reading What on Earth Am I Here For? And I did that. And then I got his, I read the God's Power to Change Your Life. And I'm really plugging into God because I know he's the only thing that I can just turn my will and my power over to, because it's like a daily struggle. And
so, Jennifer, through all of that, have you come to know Christ personally?
Yes, I have. Okay. Like, I realized, you know, it wasn't like I blamed him. You know, I've been baptized when I was younger, but I didn't really understand it maybe. But now, like today, I've allowed him I want him, and throughout my whole day, I pray, almost.
Well, it's apparent that God has used those resources that Rick Warren provided in a very positive way in your life.
Yeah, and praise him for that.
Yeah, absolutely, and I just think that is fantastic. You know, God uses all of us in spite of ourselves. We're all flawed creatures. We all, you know, mess up and make bad decisions and say some wrong things here and there. That's just who we are as human beings. And yet God is big enough and he's sovereign in choosing to use us, as I said, in spite of us. I think that's the wonderful miracle of this body of Christ, that God uses us in such wonderful ways, in ways sometimes we're not even aware of. And as I said, in spite of all the other things that we may be doing. Well, Jennifer, that's great news. I'm certainly glad that you are on the road to sobriety, to truly experiencing all that God created you to be in Christ Jesus. Let me put you on hold, Jennifer. We will send you a resource called Love Is, and I think it'll be a big help to you as well. You hang on, okay?
Yes, indeed. And as we close today's broadcast, we do so with a reminder that Basic Gospel depends on you, our listeners, to be able to remain on the air every day with the truth of God's Word. And to express our thanks for your generous gift at this time, we'll send you a copy of Love Is by Bob Christopher. God wants you to know that he loves you, that you can rely on his love. And when you abide in his love, you'll see that God's love never fails. It's all there in Love Is by Bob Christopher, yours today for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. To complete your gift and request your copy, simply go online to basicgospel.net. Again, basicgospel.net, or call 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours. That's 1-800-727-2828 for Love Is by Bob Christopher. And, of course, if you use social media, obviously you're not alone. We use it, too, and we hope you'll like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at BasicGospelRDO. Thanks to Maurice and to Freddie and to Elba, to Craig, Elizabeth, Jennifer, and everyone who tuned in to this edition of Basic Gospel. We hope that you've heard something that has been meaningful to you, and that you'll join us again tomorrow for another edition. We'll be here. So until then, for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry staff, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again, as I said, tomorrow at the same time for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then.